Carol will be in momentarily. She's having a little bit of a computer glitch.
Did everybody who lost power get it back on? I know there was a huge part of Montgomery County that lost power.
Yeah, once it came back that night, it never went away again for me, anyhow.
I just wonder if that's what Carol's issue is. Well,
right after I moved here, I forget when it was, the power went out on our block, and it was out for 3.5 weeks. That was a long time to wait.
Chuck, I have 7. Usually you've given a couple of minutes, but everybody's getting pretty good at getting on and stuff. So,
okay.
We started the recording, so that's recording already. Do the usual announcements. You know, if you would like to make a comment during the meeting, if you raise your hand, we'll unmute you and you can make your comment that way. There's also the chat feature. If you need to get a hold of me, you can use the chat feature. And chat to the host, and I will do that. You can also email me at manager@lowerfrederick.org or call the township building phone number. And just also wanted to mention that this is a kind of a continuation of our June 3rd meeting. Our June 3rd meeting, most of the town, as we were talking a little earlier, was out of electric. So we made the decision to have just a very quick meeting and move most of the items that we could to another night, which is this night. So that's why this is a special meeting, but it's really just a continuation of our June 3rd meeting.
So are we ready to start?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Just get one screen up. Wonderful. Okay. I'd like to call the June 10th, 2020 Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors special meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. Guess we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Whenever you're ready, Mark.
Yep, we're good.
All right. We'll try. We'll start with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mark. roll call. Let the record reflect that all board and staff that are listed on the agenda are present at this evening's meeting. Announcements are standard announcements that our township meetings are recorded for the purpose of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting is also going to be recorded by the teleconference provider. We do ask people from the public who are making comments that they state their name as well as their address along with their comment. And that way we can make sure that it's properly documented in our minutes. I don't believe we have any executive sessions to announce between last week and this week.
Correct.
So that takes us to administrative actions. Which is approval of the minutes from our April 29th, 2020 workshop meeting. So can I get a motion for approving the minutes from said workshop meeting?
I'll so move.
Okay, Marla Hexter made the motion.
I'll second.
And Noelle seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? No. Great. Treasurer's report.
I'm going to read the same treasurer's report that we did last week. Like I said, it was just a rushed meeting last week just because of the electric situation. The cash balance in the general fund as of May 1st is $1,636,140. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of May 1st is $325,377.59. During the month of May, we worked on the rate reduction for the sewer loan. We continue to work with the auditor on the audit. Things have gotten backed up a little bit there with the COVID situation. And in looking at the financials from the COVID situation, currently we're showing a 5% decrease in earned income tax. Some of that could be because the state pushed the earned income tax filing date back to July 15th, where usually that would have been done in April. So when people needed to catch up, they would have done that in April. But we continue to keep a close eye on the revenue, and we'll update the board monthly on those developing issues.
That's your concluding report, right?
Yep.
Are there any questions for Mark on the treasurer's report? Great. Thank you, Mark. Yep. Public comment on agenda items. Have we gotten any comments on agenda items that you're aware of, Mark?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Should we push forward or wait?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Brings us to reports. Township engineer.
Thank you, Chuck. Nice to see everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry about the storm last week. Hope everybody's well now. Couple things on my report tonight. The first is the Goshen Road sidewalk. In June of 2019, the township was awarded a grant for installation of sidewalk along Goshen Road. The grant award was $102,553 to be matched by a township contribution of $22,507. The funding amount included projected costs for survey and design, and also for contract administration and inspection. The Montgomery County Planning Commission has confirmed that the Goshen Road sidewalk plans are accepted and the township can bid the project. If so authorized by the board, we will prepare documents and advertisement to put the project out for bid. The second item on my report tonight is a little unusual. On May 28th, there was a strong odor of petroleum product reported along the creek that flows through Springmount, parallel to Main Street. Response was provided by the township roadmaster, the fire department, Pennsylvania DEP, and our office. The source was eventually traced by DEP to a heating oil tank on a residential property. The tank had recently been replaced, but since installation, it was deduced that a stone from the wall adjacent to the tank fell, hitting the tank filter and dislodging the discharge pipe. That oil drained from the tank into a foundation drain and out to the creek. Within hours, J&J Environmental was on site to initiate cleanup activities. They were retained by the property owner. DEP continues to monitor the progress of cleanup activities. This is the only items on my report this evening, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Carol. Does anybody on the board have any questions for our engineer?
Do not.
Okay. Hearing none, I think we're at the point where we should consider making a motion to have our engineer slash manager prepare the bid package for the Goshen Road sidewalk project.
I so move.
Okay. We get a second. So that was Noel Halter making the motion.
I'll second.
Dan Orff. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of having...
Sorry, this is Marl. I just have a quick question for Carol. What is the timeline for this process? Sorry to interrupt, Chuck.
Yeah, I sent that in a previous email, but it looks like it would be construction start up around September. It's going to depend a little bit on how long it takes the county to reply because they need to approve the bid package. But I anticipate at this point, if I start now, we'd be looking at a construction in the fall, September, October.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, no problem. I think the timeline is in the Dropbox as well with all the meeting docs.
Right, but I think it's also helpful for those attending to understand kind of where we're going with this too.
Sure,
so. Yeah.
Okay, so where were we? We were about to vote, right? So all in favor of having our engineer slash manager prepare a bid package for the Goshen Road sidewalk, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimous. Thank you, Carol. That takes us to our staff reports. Police Chief Maxey. Chief, you're muted.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Very good.
Thank you. Are we good? Okay. Sorry about that. Good evening. Just a brief report for this evening. During the month of May, there was 209 calls for service. And the police department received checks totaling the amount of $272.47 from District Court 38203. And these monies represent traffic and criminal fines paid by defendants in various matters brought before the court. The police department also continued to work to provide assistance with the COVID pandemic, checking on residents as well as communicating with the Department of Public Safety on various matters. And I just have one final portion of my report. It actually took place last Sunday, but I think that it's very important that we discuss it tonight. And that is that on Sunday, June the 6th, which was last Sunday, I was invited by the NAACP Pottstown chapter to attend a peace rally that was held in Pottstown Borough. And I found this experience to be probably one of the most moving of my professional career. I attended the event with two of my officers who volunteered to go and wanted to be participative. And obviously this is really as a result of the tragic events that have occurred in Minneapolis. And obviously we've all are very aware of what has transpired over the last few weeks. I think that it's important to explain that really the purpose of us being there was to show the community at large, in particular, some groups that have been working to try to bring forward better transparency, collaboration, and engagement, that this police department supports all of those efforts. I'm a staunch believer in accountability and accountability of my personnel, as well as high quality of professional services. And I think that it was important for us to participate in this because it really showed our level of commitment moving forward. In the past, I've worked with the NAACP. They're a wonderful organization, and I have found them to be of tremendous benefit while I've been here as the police chief, just as a resource and at times an organization that you can call upon when need be. Moving forward, I've discussed with the board of supervisors some things that I think that are very important that we'll be doing in-house here to assure that we continue to provide a high level of professional standard and behavior to this community. And I just want to tonight reiterate that if anyone in the community ever has a concern, ever has a problem, ever has an issue with this police department, we have an open door policy, and that is you give the police chief a phone call, and I will be more than happy to meet and discuss with you the circumstances and to address the issue immediately, if especially if action needs to be taken. But moving forward, I felt that Sunday's event is putting us and it's really posturing us to the right position as we move forward, and we continue to work with the NAACP as well as some other organizations to bring about reform, change, and really, I think, unity between law enforcement and the community we serve. Thank you.
Chuck, if I can, I just wanted to add to that.
Yes.
The intention of a lot of the protests that have been happening lately are in support of anti-racism. And, you know, speaking for this board and this township, we treat everybody the same. We will not tolerate any racist activities or comments. And also, we will not tolerate any racist activities in our codes, in our permits, in our law enforcement, in housing, and anything that this board has power over. This is a community that treats everybody the same. And just adding to what Chief Maxey is saying, the board also gives its support to anti-racism.
Yeah, I 100% agreement on everything you said. Thank you. And Chief, thank you and your officers for you know, for everything that you do and for attending these important rallies. I think it is important.
Thank you very much, Chuck.
Yeah. So anybody else has any questions for Chief Maxey at this time? Okay. Thank you again.
Sorry, I have a question, Chief. Have you noticed any, I know it's only been a couple days, but have there been any changes in some of the domestic issues that you noticed during when we were in the lockdown, or is it too soon?
Well, that's kind of interesting, Marla, that you bring that up, because I think that as we have started to transition out of the stay at home into this this kind of mid stage, I think people are starting to get a little bit of a renewed relief, and we have seen that there has been decrease in domestic problems most recently within the last week, and I think that will probably continue as people are able to really get outside and outside of their homes too, but all in all, we'll have to see how that goes moving into the summer months here.
Thank you. And have the social services that support that, are they starting to open up as well?
Yeah, they are. We found that to be a significant challenge, as I'm sure all communities did, that with a lot of the social service providers having either limited staff or kind of remote staff working, we weren't getting a lot of the follow-ups that we're used to with these organizations. And I think that that's just has to do with the fact that they were maintaining protective measures for their own personnel to make sure that nobody was getting infected or was spreading the infection. And I think that we've started to see within probably I'd say about the last 7 to 10 days more engagement, because we're getting follow-up phone calls from incidents or situations that we handled. And I know that these social services are making appointments to get out and see people in the community again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next staff report would be our roadmaster, Tom Manning.
Good evening. For the month of May, we had 3 sump pump reports, inspections. We worked, did the spring cleanup in front of the office, cleaned the parking lot, mulched the beds, We requested quotes to get the HVAC replaced in the police department. We had the pump service at the sewer plant and the lift station. The new benches were put out for the park board in the Cuddy Park, and we made repairs to the deer fence. We've been working on our sign upgrade for 2020. We did the trench repair on Cemetery Lane, and we put the buoy in at the Foy Park. And that's my report for this month.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions for our roadmaster?
Chuck, I don't have a question, but I want to thank Tom and his crew for the great job they did mulching those beds, and Bonnie for the fabulous work that you did beautifying the beds in front of the township building.
Yeah, it does. It does look very nice right now. I was down there signing checks last week. Tom, I guess this is a question maybe for Tom and Mark. So you went out and you're getting quotes on to replace the air conditioning, right? But you're still waiting for things, or where do we?
No, we approved that. That's
no,
all
the quotes for taking care of it is actually installed.
They actually came in and did it already.
Okay.
Yep, that's all been done.
I lose track of things from time to time, so I apologize for that.
Not a problem.
Okay, Township Manager's Report. That's you, Mark.
Yep, I'm trying to find my cursor here. Just a couple things before I get into my scheduled report there. I did want to let everyone know that the township received the grant from the Schuylkill Valley River Restoration Fund for the appraisal of the Reynolds property. We haven't gotten the paperwork yet, but we've been told that we were approved for that grant. So we look forward to getting that and working on that. Also, I was made aware, and the Meng Preserve, which is over near the Limerick border, that the township has some property, Limerick has property, the Natural Lands Trust has property. A hiker was in the area, found some shotgun shells. Just want to make sure everyone understands that there's no hunting permitted in that preserve, so no one should ever be in there hunting. Staying on the parks for a moment, Foy Park has become a mecca for people during the weekends, especially. We've been getting some complaints about people on the dam. Just so everyone knows, no one is supposed to be on the dam in Foy Park. We've been talking with the Fish and Boat Commission. They're going to send us some new signage to put out. But just if you can, if you're there, please stay off, and anyone else, no one should be on that dam at any time. So the next was the paving project. Continuing to want to do Schwenk Road and Second Avenue using the equipment bid and then buying the material from CoStars. After our last meeting, I called PennDOT to start the process, and we were going to break this into what they call 2 jobs. my PennDOT, new PennDOT reps said they won't look at it as two jobs anymore. They'll only look at it as one job. So we were over the limit, the dollar-wise, to do the project without bidding it under prevailing wage and everything. So we're going to modify the project slightly. Like I said, Schwenk Road and Second Avenue. Currently, the plan is to do that with the equipment bid. Evergreen Road, we're going to do with in-house labor. And Woodside, we're going to do with in-house labor and just do some patches in the real bad section, some long patches. So all of the roads that we originally mentioned from the budget plan from back in the winter of 2019 would remain the same. It's just going to be modified a little bit of how we get it done.
So this is Chuck Geiser. So Mark, my understanding is we have approximately, give or take, $170,000 in our liquid fuel.
This year, this year we received approximately $170,000 in liquid fuels. Our original plan was to spend about $130,000 on paving, right, splitting the paving project into two parts, but doing it all the same way. When we presented that to PennDOT with our new person, he said that we're not able to do it that way any longer. It's everything's just going to be looked at as one project, rather than two. So we had to modify it a little bit. When we bring our own labor into it, then we can have a second project.
So our total cost is going to be less than 130.
Yeah, it'll be less than 130. Correct.
And the idea is that the money that's not spent will be used towards,
it'll be rolled over to next year, and we can plan that budget in the next budget. When we do the budget for 2021, we'll plan for that. We don't lose any of the money. We carry it forward.
And the roads that you've mentioned that do have public infrastructure, specifically water, Schwenksville Borough was consulted beforehand.
Correct. Schwenksville Borough, and I'm waiting to hear back from PECO, but they were also contacted. The Water Authority said they don't have any projects, but, you know, with the caveat that if they have a water main break, you know, they have to fix that, but that's standard.
And we, regarding, you know, people have mentioned to me Zieglerville Road, and I think, you know, the direction the township is taking now is to not do any major work on Zieglerville Road because the Arcadia Station construction is still occurring.
Yeah, from my understanding, it was we were going to wait for the Arcadia construction project to be finished, and then that would go up on the list.
Yeah, and similarly, you know, things like Fulmer and Riverside, I mean, since those are potentially going to be disturbed as part of a sewer expansion, which we'll know more about in the coming months, that wouldn't make sense to disturb those roads at this time either.
Correct.
Does anybody have any questions for Mark on the proposed paving schedule for this year? So do you need a motion for us to move forward, right?
Yeah, if you just want to, I don't know that I really need a motion, but I guess we usually do motion. So yeah, that's, you can do a motion to move forward with the paving project.
Anybody would like to make that motion?
I'll so move.
Okay, Noel Halter's made a motion. Chuck Geiser, I will second that motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor of moving forward with the proposed 2020 paving projects that were just mentioned by our manager, say aye.
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 Aye. Against. Great. That's unanimous.
Okay, so the next two items on my list are the hearings for the ordinances that we've been continuing the discussion. So Chuck, if you'd like to open the hearing on the Sado landscaping ordinance, then we'll take public comment. And then you guys, if someone would like to make a motion to approve it, we'll do that. We did have, after you open it, I do have two things to say, one from the county planning and one from our planning.
Wonderful. Okay. So, can I have a motion to open or reopen the hearing for amending our SALDO, which is Subdivision Land Development Ordinance, the landscaping section of that ordinance?
Dan Orff here. I make a motion to reopen this topic.
Okay. A second?
I'll second.
Noel Halter seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Mark, I think Mark had some things he had to say before we vote.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, we're just voting to open the, we have to formally vote to open the hearing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Aye.
Okay. All right.
Long process. We've been working on this for a long time.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Any against? Great. So that's unanimous. All right. So the hearing is open.
Okay. So we asked for comments from the county planning commission and our planning commission. The county planning commission did send back two little notes. So the horticultural professional, they suggest that we also include, trying to find it here, definition that identifies landscape architects who are licensed by Pennsylvania State Landscape of Architects. We went with someone that's, you know, with the ALS, which is the American Landscape of Architects. And the second item they said was, in our street trees, from the distance from one to another, we have 50 foot. And they said a lot of times, sometimes to accommodate things is, you know, you might want to go up to 70 foot. The planning commission received those comments also. Everyone was kind of in agreement there, and our planning commission moved this ahead without making any changes. That both of those items, if they would come up, you know, could be looked at as a waiver. If because a driveway is in the 50 foot spot, we'd obviously work with the developer to fix the tree placement. So those were the comments from the county, planning commission. And as I said, our planning commission recommended to adopt the ordinance. That's okay. All I have.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Have we gotten any comments from the public that you're aware of at this point?
I have not gotten any comments from the public.
Is there any discussion from any board members, anything? I think we've all seen it for some time. So should we move forward? Make a motion to, I guess, approve the amendment of our subdivision and land development ordinance landscaping section.
I'll so move.
Is there any kind of number that we should be citing at this point?
Ordinance 2020-01.
Okay. So we'll make asking for a motion to approve the amendments identified in ordinance, Lower Frederick ordinance number 2020. What was it again?
01.
2020-01.
I'll so move.
Okay. Noel Halter makes the motion.
I'll second.
Marla Hexter seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Great. So it's unanimous that we approve the modifications, the amendments to our SALDO specified in 2020-01. Mark, do we need to actually close this hearing?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Correct, Eric? Eric, correct. They have to close the hearing.
Yeah, we'll do it anyway.
Yep. He's there now. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, you are correct.
All right.
Okay. So can I have a motion to close the hearing for the amendment to our subdivision land development landscaping ordinance?
Motion to Dan Orff here. Motions to close the hearing.
Dan Orff. Chuck Geiser will second. Is there any discussion? All in favor of closing the hearing for ordinance 2020-01, say aye.
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 Aye. Great. That was unanimous. So now we need to open the hearing for our Planning Commission ordinance. And I assume this is ordinance 2020-02.
You got it. Yep.
Okay. So can I have a motion to open the hearing for the Planning Commission ordinance 2020-02?
Sure. I'll make the motion.
Yep. I'm sorry, that was Terry.
We'll give it to Terry. Terry made the motion. Marla Hexter seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Any against? Great. Unanimous. So the hearing is now open for ordinance 2020-02.
Again, Chuck, we sent this to the County Planning Commission, and we sent it to our Planning Commission. We received no comments from the County Planning Commission, and the Lower Frederick Township Planning Commission recommended to adopt ordinance 2020-02 at their May 21st meeting.
Okay.
And I received no comments from the public.
Okay. Any discussion from board members? Okay, we'll move forward to recommend adopting ordinance 2020-02, which is basically ordinance establishing the Planning Commission to allow alternates to a Planning Commission of 7 plus up to 3 alternates.
Dan Orff, I move that we adopt ordinance 2020-02.
Okay, you can get a second.
I'll second.
Okay, Noel Halter seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Any against? Okay, unanimous that we approve the moving forward or adopting ordinance 2020-02. And I need just a motion to close out the hearing for ordinance 2020-02.
I'll move.
Okay. Noel Halter made the motion. Chuck Geiser will second. Is there any discussion? All in favor of closing the hearing for ordinance 2020-02, say aye.
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 And any against? Great. That was unanimous as well. Okay, Mark. Now we're up to D.
All right, so B Team Investments is the builder that is building 3 houses off of Perkiomen on 3rd Avenue. They're set up. They did a cash, like escrow for invoices and inspections and that. So this has happened a couple times now. We may have done this in January. The board has to vote to release the money so that we can pay back ourselves. So there's 2 bills. In the amount of $1,323. If we can get a motion to pass that, then the township will get paid for the services that have been used by B Team Investments.
Okay. I'll move.
So we have a motion made by Noel Halter for releasing escrow in the amount of, what was it again, Mark?
$1,323.
$1,323 for B Team. Can I get a second? I'll second. Is there any discussion? So Chuck Geiser seconded, Noel Halter made the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor of releasing escrow for B Team in the amount of B-Team, I don't know what they call them, B-Team Investments or something?
Yep, B-Team Investments.
In the amount of $1,323, say aye.
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 Any against? That is unanimous. So we have another one?
The last thing on my area is the appointment of a wastewater engineer. The township did an RFP for a wastewater engineer. We reviewed those proposals that we received. We interviewed three of the companies, and now the board needs to decide which one we're going to appoint, and then we'll get the paperwork completed with that engineer that you choose and have all that ready for our July meeting so that we can then begin.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to appoint Hydra Terra as our wastewater engineer.
I'll second.
Okay, we have Chuck Yizer making the motion. We have Noelle Halter seconding. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. All in favor of appointing Hydra Terra as our wastewater engineer, say aye.
Hey, Chuck, before you do that, maybe you should do a roll call.
Well,
vote.
How would people, I mean,
okay.
Mark and I had kicked this back and forth.
Okay. We could do it. I mean, we could do it by just saying out loud.
If you'd like to, if you'd like to do a roll call vote, if nobody has an objection, we'll do that. As long as we vote in public, that's fine.
No objection.
The only reason I bring it up, and maybe Eric could clear this up, is because of the nature of the way we're doing things, some people may not know who's voting for it and who's voting against it if it doesn't come out unanimous. That's thought I had.
I was going to ask if there were anybody not in favor of it, but I'm good either way. Okay. Marla, do you have an opinion on it?
Yeah, I think, and Eric can correct me, I think if we do not have a unanimous vote, that you must reflect in the minutes who voted for and who voted against.
Right.
So that will happen. Is that correct, Eric?
Correct. It should happen in either scenario. If you wanted to do a voice vote and there were no votes, you would then just need to identify who those no votes were. But either approach would work.
Let's do a roll call vote then. I don't have a problem with it. Okay. I don't know. Does anybody else?
Nope. No objection.
Okay.
All right. So the motion on the board is to appoint Hydra Terra as the wastewater engineer. Chuck, how do you vote?
Yes or aye.
Marla, how do you vote?
Aye.
Noelle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Terry, how do you vote?
No.
Dan, how do you vote?
Aye. Yes.
The vote carries 4-1.
Okay. Very good.
So I work with Hydra Terra, get the paperwork all in order, and have that ready to be approved at the July meeting.
Okay. So what we'll be approving at the July meeting is their rate. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for Mark before we move on? All right. Solicitor, Eric.
It was relatively light month from our office standpoint. We assisted your staff in just a couple of matters. For example, we assisted in a personnel matter. We assisted in getting that interest rate adjustment ordinance prepared and approved last week. We assisted Carol with the plan review of Melbourne Hill, and just this week in addressing a Right to Know Act request for the manager. And so that's been our level of activity over the last month.
Great. Any questions for our solicitor? Hearing none. Thank you, Eric. I guess that brings us to Planning Commission. Mark, do we have a Planning Commission member present? I'm looking at the participant list.
I don't see
Linda.
Phil's there and Linda.
Linda is here.
Yeah,
she on the list?
She just raised her hand.
Okay.
Oh, that's
there. It is. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, all right, hold on a second. All right, she's unmuted. Linda, you're unmuted.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can.
Okay.
Okay, I'm don't have a real stable connection. That's why I won't do video, but it'll be quick. basically, when we met via Zoom meeting on the 21st, we discussed the Saldo landscaping ordinance requirements, which you folks passed tonight, and we had there was discussion, but we had made the recommendation to, for the Board of Supervisors to adopt it, which you guys did. We also discussed the adding the alternate to the PC and, adopting or amending our existing ordinance to allow for an alternate, which was the ordinance 2020, which died. They're ongoing to separate because
Linda.
Perhaps even create an existing, an outstanding ordinance for tree protection. And if
I think we lost Linda. Wait, there she is. Hold on. Linda, are you there?
Okay, you guys did lose me. It's an unstable. I don't know where I cut out, but basically it was the discussion about the tree protection at the end of the meeting. And we, the Planning Commission decided to, collaborate with the EAC, see what their recommendations are before moving forward with that. So pretty much it was the two ordinances which you guys passed and the ongoing discussion about maybe a standalone timber harvesting ordinance or just strengthening the ordinances we already have on the So, believe that.
I think we've lost Linda again.
Yep. I'll leave her unmuted. I think she was finishing there.
I believe so.
No, I think I'm done. Oh, yes. I'm pretty much done.
All right.
If Phil can think of anything I've missed, I wasn't really prepared to give the report, but kind of did it from memory, and that's all I got.
Wonderful. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Yes, Phil.
Okay. Phil Smith, recording secretary. The only thing I would add to what Linda seemed to be saying is we did initiate a conversation about looking at trail connections, especially in the area of Melbourne Hill and the Prestige Project outside Ziegleville. And we are going to probably take that up at future meetings with a little bit more scrutiny. But the Planning Commission basically concurred that that's an important topic that needs to be addressed as we move forward with several of our development projects. So I'd like to add that to Linda's summation.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
Sorry, Chuck, I have a question, I guess for Phil, since he brought it up. We have an existing connections map. Is that something that needs to be updated or just revisited?
Well, I can't speak for the entire, Planning Commission, but I think the general consensus is the answer to your question is yes. There's some issues that were proposed at one time or areas that could use refinement and updating according to how the playing field has changed in the years since we've adopted that connections map. Dan and I have, discussed perhaps coming to the next meeting with a visual that would enable the Planning Commission to be able to work on a actual map. The Montgomery County Planning Commission has agreed to provide us with a basis for doing that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I'm asking is there is money out there for connections for people to walk places and bike places and you know, take their kids and dogs places. I know Monaco 2040. And what's the other one, Mark? Shoot, it slips my mind now. There's another one that gives money for those kinds of things for like.
Off the top of my head, I can't, or DCNR?
Oh, but there's a name for it. I can't remember the name of it.
Something like intermodal, something.
That's it, multimodal. The multimodal, yeah. So that's something we should keep in mind, because it takes time to put together a good grant proposal, but that might be something that would be worthwhile. So let's just keep that in the back of our heads.
Well, I can just add to what Marla's saying here. I was on the phone just this week with Peter Williamson, the vice president of Natural Lands, and he said, you know, monies are becoming more and more scarce for open space preservation, and public access and trails are integral to making a successful application at this point in time. So it would behoove our township to make sure that we have a strong defense of connections and available suggestions for connections to open space that we might be interested in acquiring.
Okay. And thank you, Phil. Are there any other questions for our planning commission? Okay. Marla, you and I talked about doing just an update for the regional planning commission. Would you like to do that?
Yes. We met on May 18th, this is the Central Perkiomen Valley Regional Planning Commission. We did not have a meeting in, our March meeting was canceled due to COVID, but we recommenced in May virtually. And the main topic of discussion was an update on our Central Perkiomen Valley Regional Trail Map. And what that is it uses the Perkiomen Trail as the spine. And it's going to be a virtual map that people who are on the trail or want to be on the trail can find things like places to eat, bathrooms, other places to go that are within a short distance of the Perkiomen Trail. And this, I believe, is going to go live in the relatively near future. We have our next meeting in July, so we can provide an update then.
Right. Any questions for Marla? All right. Comprehensive plan committee update. I will do that one. I don't see Crystal on here, so I'll do it. So, as many of you know, or probably all of you know, we have not been meeting. I think our last meeting was in February of this year. But we will be meeting tomorrow night, the 11th at 7. It will be a Zoom meeting, and the details of that meeting are advertised on our social media accounts. What had transpired in the last few months is the county was working on a online survey, basically to, it dovetailed really to the questions that were being asked at our open house last year in June. We got a lot of feedback on the survey. The county, I know I just spoke to them today, have been working on revising the survey. They are hoping to have all of those revisions in. They anticipate having them all done by the end of today, so they will be available as an updated online survey with a new link tomorrow AM. I apologize, it's close to the meeting time, but they have been trying to accommodate all the changes and sentiments and other things. So that will really kind of be the focus of our meeting tomorrow night, is to review the changes made by the county, and also just to sort of recap of where we are in the comprehensive plan process. I know people have submitted comments on some of the chapters, and so we can get some feedback as to how those comments have been addressed. So those are really the two big things. I think hopefully after tomorrow night, more or less the survey, we can, I'm hoping we establish a comfort level with the revised survey. I did advise them that, you know, the board will want to approve review / approve if they want to approve the survey before it goes live, similar to what was done in the traffic calming effort a few years ago. That's my report.
Chuck, I've got a question. I mean, this the COVID-19 crisis has kind of delayed comprehensive plan progress, and you were on kind of a roll, or the committee was on kind of a roll. Do you have any idea how much this will delay the whole process? That is there any opportunity to catch up, or will it just be delayed by the number of months you're behind? Is there any thoughts on how that will work out?
I'm going to guess we're going to be delayed by the number of months we're behind at this point. I mean, they're not, the county people are still all working from home too. So that would be my guess, but that's certainly a valid question for tomorrow night. I mean, these surveys are kind of a standard component in the comp plan process. You know, if you look at Upper Frederick, they did a resident survey, and other communities did one too. So, you know, it does serve a purpose of at least keeping the process moving forward in some way, you know, during this period of time where we're not able to meet the way we have been used to meeting over the years. And it is worth mentioning again, I mean, you know, the whole thing, the whole plan is subject, when it's all done, is subject to board approval. In other words, if the board doesn't like it, it doesn't get approved. I mean, hopefully it never comes to that, but that is, you know, is a step in the process.
And I think it's also my understanding, I've been involved in a lot of strategic planning processes, that there'll be a number of recommendations, so we can adopt some recommendations and reject others.
Yes, sure. We can ask for revisions or omissions or however we, you know. Like I said, hopefully if it's a good process, we won't be in that position. That we'll all be happy with it once it's passed on to the board, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
So that's tomorrow night. So I did talk to Mark briefly today and asked him when the link is available from the county to send it out to the comprehensive plan group, to the board, as well as to our planning commission. That's the end of my report for the comprehensive plan. That takes us to Park and Rec. Donna Lynn. You unmuting Donna Lynn, Mark?
I'm trying. I have the report to read, but I was. What?
I see Pam and Donna. Donna
Lynn. She may have a comment then, but I'll try to get that worked on here. Just lost Pam.
Would you like to do EAC and then we'll come back?
No.
Looks like Pam raised her hand, so yep. Maybe she wants to speak.
Okay. Yeah.
Pam, did you want to do it or did you want me to?
I can give you a quick report. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay. First issue of our review, we had a pretty long meeting, was our concert in the park. We are still holding the band open, AM radio. For our primary date would be July 30th with a rain date of August 13th. Still holding that open and kind of waiting to see if the board has any recommendations or what happens within the county and recommendations on whether or not that's something we move forward with. We did talk to Donna Lynn, talked to Upper Salford. They are moving forward with their concert series in the park for July and August. So we're kind of holding at this point to see where things go as to whether or not we can do that or not. That would be at Foy outside, and we would still have to social distance and probably have people in masks and things. We did a review of park maintenance. Since we've been down and not very active on activities, we've been doing a lot of park maintenance at the Village Center Park on the beds. We had a donation of free mulch from Warren, and Janet and I have been mulched the beds, and also filled in any open spots in the beds where we had plants that didn't make it, and we've got open spots that needed to be filled. Donalyn and I also planted one small bed at the north side of the park that was not planted, so that's been planted as well. So we've been trying to keep busy. We had an introductory discussion on a labeling system as part of the educational outreach that was part of the intention of Village Center Park and also would be used in the Cuddy Meadow and any rain gardens that we would eventually create. And this is a labeling system. It uses a QR code. It's a hosted system that would allow with any mobile device, you could scan the QR code and it would give you a custom page description of that plant. And we can customize that description. And it's a pretty exciting approach. So we're investigating that, getting samples made right now. And we will hopefully have that at Village Center Park for people to try probably in another week or two. We also had an introductory discussion on a potential donation scheme using commemorative bricks. It's a successful program. It's been used elsewhere of allowing people to purchase bricks to commemorate a person or an event or something like that. That purchase money would give them a permanent marker in a park. And also, you know, give us money to help fund of plantings at Village Center, at Cuddy, in the meadow, and elsewhere, and in the rain gardens where we need assistance. And I think that's about it. I want to thank both Mark and Tom and his group for putting the meditation bench in Cuddy Meadow. It is there. It has the nice inscription on it. To come sit and relax, and I think it's a good sighting there at the top of the meadow. The meadow is getting beautiful right now. It changes every week, but if you haven't been over there, it's a good time to take a walk over there. And I think that's about it.
Great, thank you, Pam. Any questions for Pam?
This is Marla. Pam, I have one question. The summer concert's usually at Coble Park. Is that a change?
I think I said Foy. Yes, it would be at Coble.
Okay, so it is going to be at Coble Park. Okay, thank you.
Pamela, thank you for everything you guys are doing. I think I really like the QR. I think that's going to be neat.
I just had one quick question for Pam. This is Danworth. Do we have to be, for the concert to take place, you'd have to be in green, right? Yellow won't do.
She's muted.
Oh.
What is the limit for green? Do you know it off the top of your head, Dan?
The limit for yellow is 25, so that wouldn't be much of a concert. I don't know for green. I think I'd have to look it up. But you'd have to be in green to even consider it a concert.
I've heard unofficially we may be there by the end of this month.
Okay. I think it's 250 for green. Mm. So that's the max. So, all right.
All righty. Any other questions for Pam or Parks and Rec?
I am here.
Oh, okay. Donalyn.
Sorry about that. How's everybody?
Very good. Do you have anything to add to what Pam said? I'll take that as a no. So that brings us to our Environmental Advisory Council, EAC. Ruth, will you be making the report?
I can. Hello, everybody, through the airwaves.
Hello, Ruth.
The EAC met virtually via Zoom on Monday, May 18th. The date was irregular due to the Memorial Day holiday. A discussion resumed on two topics. The first concerned tree protection, which was tabled in April due to time constraints. Using a work in progress document as a guide, Denise Finney led the group through a discussion to identify key tree-related vulnerabilities in Lower Frederick. The discussion next month will focus on action recommendations. And as an aside, I will be letting the group know of the Planning Commission's interest in collaborating on this. Our next meeting is June 22nd. So if anyone from the Planning Commission can attend, that would be great. The second discussion concerned issues relating to protecting our aquifers and stormwater. It followed a motion to approve the context of a presentation that would serve to inform the Board of Supervisors and the general public about the ways in which below-grade structures and subsequent sump pumps can degrade the aquifers and increase stormwater in the township. We focus primarily on introducing the principal problem and concepts, then provided generalized solutions based on a corrective stormwater ordinance amendment adopted by New Hanover. The motion passed, and Jackie O'Neill presented it at the May 26th Supervisors Workshop meeting, and we remain indebted to Jackie for her leadership on this. The board responded with a request for additional examples of ways in which other towns had addressed the issue, and Jackie and others are working to accommodate this request. I understand she invited Ross Snook to attend one of the supervisors' meetings after that workshop meeting. So the EAC appreciates guidance from the supervisors to indicate to what extent they're willing to further address the problems presented. Again, it's going to come up at the next workshop meeting, so we'll be paying attention to that. Then also the topic of outreach was discussed briefly, as communication with the public has been identified as an important function for the EAC. Members are hoping to work with the board and township staff to implement effective cost-free or low-cost communication tools, but the distancing required to prevent the spread of COVID-19 has stalled those efforts for now. And then lastly, one vacancy on the council. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Ruth. Are there any questions for Ruth?
I have a question. I'm not sure Ruth is the right person, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What does the spotted lanternfly issue look like this year? Do you or anyone else on the council have any insight into that? Because I've seen a couple of those little black with white polka-dotted guys in my yard.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. Would you like the EAC to be making any recommendations on it or address
the
issue?
Well, I'm just wondering if there is some information out there, what it looks like and what people can do. Is that something you could provide? We could put it on our website. I mean, we talked about this last year and the year before, but I think it would be helpful for the community to have some, 2020 information. I'm not suggesting you necessarily focus on it, but if you all have some resources, I think that would be useful.
Well, the County Conservation District has some outreach on the topic, and then also the Penn State Cooperative Extension has a lot of updated information, but I will pass that along and see what we can get for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Terry. I have one other, I guess, maybe question. So I know at the end of this month at the work session, we'll hear from the presentation, and Ross, I forget his name, is going to
Ross
present.
Snook.
Snook, yeah.
Snook, right.
So I'm just curious. I'm not sure exactly where, what's going to happen at the end of the discussion or what the action will be. I'd imagine at some point, similar to the tree protection, that we'd ask the Planning Commission to weigh in on it as well. Just assuming there is, would it be a good idea, if it hasn't already been done, to let the Planning Commission know to try to attend that meeting so Ross doesn't have to present it again?
That's a great point. And there are folks on the call, so hopefully they're listening, but I will reach out to Crystal to let her know. I know Crystal has said to me in the past that the Planning Commission is interested in things that affect Saldo and zoning. So where we put this ordinance, if there is ever an ordinance, is the determining factor as to whether or not the Planning Commission is interested. But obviously, this is a new development topic, so we would very much like their input.
Yeah, this is Chuck Geiser. In the past, the board has asked the Planning Commission to get involved in things like grading ordinances and other stuff. So, it's not, I don't think it's totally out of their scope to be involved in that process.
So we'll see what you recommend. Would you recommend I simply send an email to Crystal to invite for the tree planting, tree protection would be our meeting on the 22nd, and then Ross Snook's visit would be to the Board of Supervisors meeting. I don't know, I have the date for that, the next workshop. I think that now that's if we're on the agenda, if he's on the agenda. But if so, is that how you would recommend I proceed?
Mark, what do you think?
I can let Crystal know too. Our workshop meeting is on June 23rd. I think Jackie said Ross was available then, but we'll have to check with him to see if he's available.
Okay. But I'll be glad to reach out to Crystal, and then hopefully she'll spread the information to the rest of the Planning Commission.
That's fine too. I think, having both of you talk to her, that's fine.
Okay.
That's just me speaking, but if anybody else has a different opinion, chime in.
Okay. You know, I think Terry's suggestion makes a lot of sense. We're all part of the same team, and two heads are better than one, so might as well make it more efficient, and hopefully, even if all the Planning Commission members can't make it, it would be useful for as many as possible to be at that work session. And if there are topics of interest, to also be, just like some of you attend the Planning Commission meeting, it'd be useful for some members of the Planning Commission to also attend your meeting, so you all kind of know what's going on and can help and support each other.
Yeah, I appreciate the comment and the guidance on how to proceed for sure.
Okay, well, Mark, did you have something to say?
We have one hand raised for a comment, if you're ready for the public to ask questions.
Sure.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that means we have no new business.
Well,
this is for the EA. I think it's for the EA.
Oh, just questions for the AC.
Relevant to Ruth's report. Brian Hill has a question, right?
Yeah, well.
Can we just do it in public comment? I mean, everybody will still be here, and then we can move on.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm having trouble unmuting them.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ruth.
Oh, there's Brian.
Oh.
You're welcome.
So, Brian Hill, 11 Ziegler-Ville Road. Just two comments. One, I'm just following up on the comment I made on our last meeting with regards to Arcadia Station, with regards to the amount of dirt that had washed out in the backside of the roundabout in the first phase there. I was curious if the township went out and took a look at that. It doesn't appear that they have the correct barriers to hold that dirt into the properties that don't have sod or grass on it. And then the second comment I'd like to follow up on was from a prior meeting I made, was regarding the trail between Adelphia and downtown Schwenksville, the trailhead to which there had been a number of trees that had fallen within that trailhead, which can make that area fairly dangerous for people that do utilize that to get between the two areas. I'm just curious. I know you were reaching out to Montgomery County, and was there any response regarding that?
Okay, thank you. Mark, can we just do this? Brian, thank you. I want to keep the meeting on track. We'll address your comments in public comment, because I think that's where they fit. That'll be just in a couple minutes, and that way we move through the rest of our agenda. Is that okay with you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that was you. Someone mentioned it was public. It was public comment. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem. That brings us. Thank you, Ruth Heil, for the EAC report. That brings us to new business. Is there any new business? Hearing none. Now we do public comment. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry to interrupt.
Give me 1 second. So for Brian Hill's two comments there, I did go out to Arcadia Station actually the next day. They had cleaned up the mud off the road. That's all I was looking at that moment. It looked like they had been in there with a brush and stuff. You kind of extended your comment there that you just said a little bit past what I understood from the comment we received the last time. I guess this was last Wednesday you made that comment. So I'll go out and take a look at your further explanation. And I did call the county. The county was going to look into it. That is not an approved trail by the county's opinion. So I'm not sure what they're going to do there. We've also had people going down behind the apartments next to the Moshe's restaurant and setting fires at the bottom of the hill. So the county is also looking into that. But yes, I did call the county and we discussed that trail.
Is there any other public comment, Mark?
Donna Lynn asked why the planning commission, why we added alternates to the planning commission.
Okay. Well, I'll answer that, because at the time we had multiple applicants, and we wanted to have an opportunity to perhaps give those applicants a chance to be on the planning commission in some form, and also entertain the idea of, if you have an alternate on the planning commission and then you have a planning commission member leave, then, you know, that does leave you in a better position should you decide to promote that alternate to a full member. You have somebody who's sort of up to speed already. But it's up to the township's discretion whether they want to exercise it. All this ordinance did is give us the option of having an alternate. It doesn't require us to have an alternate. I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, Chuck, if I could just add to that and correct me if I mistake anything, I think it also makes it more consistent with what other, I think either county or state planning commission ordinances say. So I think it's pretty typical to allow for alternates. And again, it doesn't mean you have to have them, but you have the option. And am I stating that correctly?
Yeah, I think.
You used a model ordinance.
Yeah. It's consistent with what the municipality's planning code permits, and they made that change, I think, in around 2013 to allow for alternates.
And just one other point that people might, even though it allows for up to three alternates, in all likelihood, and Phil can chime in on this, I think we would probably only use one, because it gets kind of confusing if you have more than one alternate. But for just from a logistics point of view, but we'll definitely go with one in all likelihood.
Yeah, and that alternate has to be put on the board by the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
You have Bob Burns, who has some questions.
We also have Phil Smith, who has a raised hand, too.
I already unmuted Bob.
Okay.
Bobby. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hello, Bob. Very well.
Hello, everyone. Question here. I brought this up many times before, and I'm going to bring it up again tonight. The storm pipe that is coming across from Ragusa going over towards Mr. Grimley's property, that pipe is consistently full of water. I understand Tom Manning was out there and took pictures of it. The paving trench is now settled at that location. So when you're headed eastbound towards Main Street, it's very noticeable. The other side going westbound is not. So I understand you don't want to possibly do any paving repairs or whatever. This would be on the developer to take care of that. But this whole issue stems to be a bigger issue. And I think if Eric is still available, I think he needs to speak to this, since the drainage concern is there and the engineer and the township are allowing the subcontractor of the developer to access the property owner's property and make changes. Is there any liability for the township? Because in most cases, the developer would make an easement with the homeowner and give future access to the township. And it seems like we're cutting steps there. The other part of that equation with this whole thing is, if that pipe's full of water and the inlets are full of water, have any of the structures been compromised being full of water? And shouldn't we check with the suppliers and manufacturers of those inlets and pipes to get their position on this? We're looking at something that's over 2.5 years old. I have a few other questions, but I'll wait until you guys answer this one before I go on to the next, if that's okay.
Yeah, Mark, do you want to respond to Bob's?
I know that we were letting the property owner and the subcontractor of the developer work on the issue of Mr. Grimley's, which Bob brought to us as an issue. So we're letting them work it out so that we're trying to keep Mr. Grimley happy in this situation, and hoping that when they fix that, that pipe will empty. Because it won't.
Yeah, I understand that, Mark. I think the problem here again is, for 2 years, these pipes and inlets have been full of water, so that's an issue as it is. Additionally, where the sump is dug on the edge of the right of way, edge of Mr. Grimley's property, Brian Hill can attest to this. There was a vehicle that got stuck there. Mr. Grimley had to go out and give the person a pull off of that area. I believe it was a FedEx driver or Amazon driver or something. But by not having the proper easements, this is why I said, I think our solicitor would best be able to answer this question. Is the township open to any other liabilities in the future if, something happens with water or drainage going over Mr. Grimley's property, and then not having the proper access to that property to get to it? I did speak to Mr. Grimley, and he seems to have an idea of what he and his wife want the property to look like. And he said he has talked to the fellow that works at Schlau, and, they're anticipating doing it when drier weather, probably July. Here again, the noticeable part of the whole thing at this point is that the trench paving has settled as well. And I find it hard to believe if our township manager, if our township roadmaster and our engineer and inspectors have been on that project, why they haven't noticed this as well.
I can't speak to that, Bob, but I can tell you that I have been informed that our township manager and engineer have been working with all parties concerned to come up with a solution that everybody will be happy with.
Okay. The next question would be, and here again, I appreciate you guys looking into the paving and the explanations that you made this evening. I had brought up to Mark at a previous meeting over across from 203 Zieglerville, there's an entrance to the townhouse location out from the shoulder area. And when the road crew was out filling other potholes, they ignored that because it was on the shoulder, I'm assuming. I asked Mark to please take a look at that and assess that. I think we also have the same issue at the entranceway to the first townhouse building as you're coming up the hill from 29, right next to our sanitary manhole. I know I've reported them in the past, and I know that the residents at the townhouse would like to see something done in those areas.
I know we haven't been coal patching lately. Tom and I'll get out and look at that this week or early next week.
Okay, and then obviously the coal patch concern is that it's a temporary repair, and going into winter, at least at some point when our road crew's doing some of this other paving work, will they be able to make them a permanent base repair going into winter, so that we don't have issues with potholes arising everywhere? And this is not just Zieglerville Road, it's pretty much everywhere where the road crew has been filling potholes throughout the township road system.
We'll take a look at it.
Yeah, especially when you come in on Zieglerville off of 29, the property on the right that's up for sale there, from the edge of the white line down to the bridge, that's littered with potholes. We also have an area over top of the bridge on both travel lanes that have sunken alligatored areas. And there's some ponding on the southbound bridge abutment where there's either silt or dirt that's holding water on the roadway, not for a very long period of time, but it does hold that water there.
Bob, have you submitted these things to the township already?
I've talked to people about them before. I did not hand them in writing. I did talk to Mark about them.
Mark, do you have a list of the things Bob is talking about?
Bob, we talked about some of them. If you send me a list, I'll look at it.
I'm just thinking that could be, you know, in terms of this particular meeting, if there are points of concern, maybe it would be best if you submitted a list.
Okay. And then just clarification on the paving 2020 on those four roads. At the last meeting or two, it was suggested that this was a mill and overlay. I believe that was brought up by our engineer. And then I believe our roadmaster mentioned that there would only be paving notches and milling around the manholes and valve boxes. So the question is, for clarification, is it a milling and overlay? Is it a level and overlay?
I'll bring Tom in for that. Fun. Each road's going to be a little different.
Correct.
Tom, you still with us?
Yeah. These, we're not paving Woodside. We're going to mill out the bad areas and pave them, so we won't be milling around the manholes. Second Avenue will be an inch, 1-inch mill. We're going to shoot for a 1-inch, 1.5-inch mill. And Evergreen is going to be a level and pave. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, what about Schwenk then?
Well, Schwenk, that's going to be determined on when we get out there and what we get to get it done.
I'm assuming you're going to do some base repairs prior to the equipment bid coming in and doing that overlay then?
If time allots.
Yeah,
I can't tell you what we're going to do because I don't know what the time schedule is. I don't know when we're going to get approval for liquid fuels.
I think we'll
have
to commit to something now. I don't know. I can't commit at this point.
I think we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, thank you. One last question, and I did bring this up to Mark previously. Melbourne Hills, and I brought this up, I believe, one of the last meetings as well, that, you know, the farmer has gone in and plowed everything and dissed it and everything. And then shortly after that, I believe it was last Tuesday, a mini excavator got there and dug several holes. I talked to Mark about it. Mark said that they were required by Montgomery County Conservation District to update some further information on the plan submitted, and that was the reason why they were out there. My concern is that, once again, there's no erosion control measures been put in place at all on this project, and whether they're required to, because if it's considered a farming project, or if they're required to because of the plan set that they're putting through, you would think at least best management practices would take into consideration that 29 being the low point coming down the hill, or the area going down towards the Goshenhoppen Creek, should have some kind of protection at a minimum. So I haven't had a chance to call the conservation district. I understand that they're working remotely.
Right.
I guess I could leave them a message, but just wanted to bring that to the board's attention.
I appreciate that. Noted.
All right. That's all the questions I have. Thank you very much for your time. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I guess Phil has his hand raised, right, Mark?
I'm working on it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
I just wanted to bring to the board's attention and the public that on May the 19th, the property of Judy Marshall, which is on Delphi Road, transacted, and now the owner of that property is Montgomery County. It will be included in the Swamp Creek Greenway as an additional property in that project for the county. It is about an 11-acre parcel. Judy actually had, received the property from her father's ownership. He was a professor down at Ursinus College, and he had purchased it in the 1950s. She acquired it after his death and held on to it with the anticipation of perhaps putting a small dwelling on the property. But she had since decided that it was in the best interest of that beautiful property to keep it as a preserved natural area. And she went ahead with changing an easement agreement that she had within Montgomery County Lands Trust, which later became part of Natural Lands. And through a system of steps, they were able to acquire it as a permanently preserved county property. That went through on the 19th of May, and the county now will be working with the Region 2 park system to make it an inclusive part of the county park system. So it's a great addition for the people of Lower Frederick to have that area preserved. For those who do not know that property, if you go up Delphi Road from Old Gravel Pike, it is on your right-hand side as you go up the hill. It's that beautiful property that has a nice steep ravine on the top of the property. There's an incredible vista of the Ziegler-Ville area and the Swamp Creek beneath you. So it's a great thing. Judy is a giant among people, because to donate a property in this day and age is a rare thing, and to do it with the intent to make sure that it's got preserved and natural for everybody to see and enjoy is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. I think it would be appropriate if the township perhaps sent a letter to the former owner thanking her for the donation. I've been on the property. Phil showed it to me whenever that was, a winter or so ago. It is quite beautiful. It is appropriate to preserve it based on where it is and the undulation in that area. I think it would be a nice gesture on our part to thank her as a township for her donation.
Chuck, you took the words out of my mouth. I think it would be a very nice gesture, given the extremely nice gesture she's making to preserve the land.
I'll get a hold of Phil tomorrow and get the details.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Hold on.
Are you getting comments?
Phil's back.
I just wanted to say I would be happy to provide you with her contact information. She has a residence in Hawaii, but she generally summers in Maine. So I will give you both addresses and you can send her your your letter of thanks. I think that would be well received by Judy. She's a very special person.
Great. Thank you, Phil. Mark, is there any other public comment that you've received?
I do not have anything else.
All right. I have two quick things that I'll just say during public comment. First is I want to thank Terry Bird for spearheading the banner for our 2020 graduates. That effort, those of you who have seen it, it's down at CVS Park. That was Terry who spearheaded getting that done, getting the collections for that banner, which was all private collection, and also for the township working with, I guess, the park board and road crew to get the thing actually, you know, get everybody in the loop and get it installed. And a special thank you for having it reinstalled after it got blown down in that horrible windstorm we had a week ago. And also I want to thank Mark for last Wednesday's meeting. That windstorm and loss of power presented us with a series of a very demanding or extraordinary challenges to pull that meeting off. And I know throughout the course of the day, while I was trying to attend a little bit of a graduation party, you know, I was going back and forth as to what everybody's status was in terms of electricity. But we had some very important business that had to get attended to last Wednesday, and Mark made that happen for us. So thank you, Mark.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks. Thank you, Terry and Mark.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment? Otherwise, we'll go to adjournment.
I do not see anything, Chuck.
Great. All right. Can I have a motion for adjournment?
There you go.
Marla made the motion. Can I get a second?
Thank you.
Terry seconded. Any all in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Aye.
Good night, everybody.
You're unanimous.
Everybody have a good night.
Good night. Yeah.